Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Tonight we're going to talk about Noah. Noah started building that ark at 600. 600. And when I read that, I just said, well, praise God, it's never too late. It is never too late. And Dave, thank you, Mary Lynn, thank you. I know the good news is no matter where you are today and what relationship you may be in or where it may be, God is the God that can redeem it. Amen. And I just pray that that would encourage you and give you hope tonight. On Sunday, we're in this Blessed Life series, and it's been powerful. Pastor James started it, I think, on the 3rd, and then last week he kind of tag-teamed with Robert Morris as he was talking about. And if you aren't here, you got to go get the video. It's on our website. It was just incredible. It's all about the heart. He was talking about where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Talked about something happens every time that you reach for your wallet, that it pulls your heart. And I feel like, man, I am stuck like that all the time, right? There's because there's so much opportunity. There's so much need. There's so many times I go to, you know, and it's like it can be painful. But it's only painful when you realize when you think it's yours. When you think everything you have is yours, then it's painful. But it isn't painful when you realize everything you have has been given to you by God, right? And so I encourage you to press into church in January. There's bad weather, there's cold weather, there's a lot of reasons not to come, NFL playoffs or whatever. You do not want to miss. It's going to be powerful. Pastor James and Pastor Robert from Gateway will be tag-teaming the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be awesome. You know, this idea of the blessed life, probably not been anything more mistaught in the kingdom of God than what a blessing looks like. When you think blessing in your brain, it goes to the wrong place. And it really took me to get out of the United States of America to understand that it wasn't blessing. The things I was counting was my provision, the things I had. Because there was some that I was equating being blessed by God with my circumstances. Meaning, if my circumstances change, I must not be blessed by God anymore. And then there's this tension you always have to manage in your relationship with God that jacks you up. And there's so much bad theology out there around what the blessed life is. Like you can name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Like somehow it's like, you know, God is a slot machine or something like that, and we equate, especially here in the United States. This isn't a message that would even need to be preached in a lot of places of the world, because most of the world lives on less than a dollar a day, so they do not equate blessing with bills paid, with the latest and greatest televisions and iPhones, with a higher car payment than your neighbor. They don't equate, some of y'all didn't get that, but, you know, with that car, with all the bling and the house, that's not what they equate it with. See, we sometimes get confused between happiness and blessing. Well, we have to understand the blessed life is not circumstantial, it's positional. The blessed life is what happens to you when you draw near to God and He draws near to you. And that can happen in any situation or any circumstance. But it isn't until you get out of America where you're fat, happy, and loud, and you realize that most of the world are you realize what blessing is, and there's a depth to blessing that goes beyond your bank account. And what I want you to understand, and the reason I wanted to kind of touch on this, the next few Wednesdays we're going to kind of teach on this, is what I've come to know and what confuses a lot of people is it's life is a lot more like battle and blessing. Battle and blessing, blessing and battle, battle and blessing and battle, and battle and blessing, and blessing and battle, and battle and blessing, and blessing and battle, and battle and blessing, and battle and blessing, and blessing and battle. And it's not, just because you're going through a battle doesn't mean you're not blessed. And just because you're blessed doesn't mean you're going to go through a battle. It's much more, and even this, it's not even seasonal, like, oh man, I'm in a season of blessing. Oh, I'm in a season of battling. And I've heard it preached before. Sometimes you're the truth is you're either in a battle, coming out of a battle, or going into a battle. That's the way this life is. But really, what I would like you to see is I think the battle and the blessing. The blessing and the battle. And what causes us to get confused and what preachers preach that cause us to kind of stumble sometimes is that really the battle and the blessing are like two tracks. It's a lot like a train track. Do we have that picture? It's a lot like this train track. You have one rail that's battle and one rail that's blessing, and you're riding on both. And if you don't get that, that's going to cause you to stumble. Because you're always trying to lose the battle and get the blessing, but a train doesn't go anywhere unless it's on both tracks. And it might be that God is trying to get you somewhere that may not feel good, or it may not be a comfort zone, it may not be a place you want to be, but it takes not only blessing, but it takes battle. See, I'm an old football coach, and what I realize is that, you know what? Winning, to win and to continue to win, it takes character. But you really don't know what your character is like until it's tested with a loss. And can you lose as well as you win? See, if we went around in our microwave mindset of what it means to be with God and, you know, little puffy angels floating around all the time and our bank account full and, you know, everything is great, perhaps we wouldn't become who God intends us to be. And maybe it is that God has a bigger plan and he can't just get you there through blessing. You might have to get there through battle. So it's battle and blessing and battle and blessing and blessing and battle. And what I want to say to you today is it's not that you're not blessed if you're going through a battle. Because if you look at the Bible, and that's what we're going to do over the next three nights, the next three Wednesdays, we're going to look at every Bible character. I mean, you heard Dave's story. He's up here talking about what a blessing it is. But that blessing came through a bloody battle. And he's not done yet. There's more battles to come. And the reason you better get plugged in a church and begin to actually not become hearers of the word, but doers of the word, is so that you lay a foundation so when the battle comes, I'm not the old Dave Robbins. I'm not the old Mike Cantrell. I'm going to respond differently because I have a foundation that goes down deep so that when the storm comes, when the battle comes, I can stand because who Christ is. But here's what you need to know. The battle is inevitable. And you can go through the battle and you can be blessed at the same time. Are you tracking with me? And so we struggle a lot in our relationship with God because we're going through difficulty. Well, if that's the case, the Bible wouldn't have any stories to tell. Every story is something that's jacked up. And even if you look at the life of Jesus, the Son of God, every blessing he attained, even to the bloody cross, came through a battle. So don't think that you can come down here to the altar and you can say some mealy-mouthed prayer and say, you know what, I'm going to serve God and there is not going to be a battle. Hey, I'm here to prophesy to you now. There's going to be a battle. It's coming. You're either in it or you're coming into it. The question is, how are you going to respond to it? And if you know the battle is part of the blessing, actually, what we learned from Jesus, the battle he won on the cross actually was the blessing. Then you won't curse the battle and only look for the blessing. You'll enjoy the battle because you know where God is going to take you on the other side. So I just want to go, if you would turn with me real quick in Genesis chapter 6. Thank you, bro. Hey, that's just appetizer. Come on. Well, I fasted last week, but I'm hungry for the word. That's right. What you need to know is the blessed life is not the battle-free life. It's a false promise. Amen. Come down to the altar and pray a prayer and everything will be all right. I've never seen that in my life. I haven't experienced that. I haven't read about that in the Bible. I haven't known real Christians that even think that or have encountered that. In the midst of every battle, there's a blessing. In the midst of every blessing, there's a battle. And if you'll get your mind right tonight and settle on it, you won't struggle with God in 2016 the way you struggled in 2015. If you turn to Genesis chapter 6, you come to a story about Noah and the flood. I wish I had time to preach the next three chapters, but actually we're going to cover three chapters just quickly. What I want you to understand is, if you read through here, and there's no way Lindsay's going to keep up with me, and if you don't have your Bible, then shame on you. Bring a Bible. They actually make them in print, and they still have them. Look at this. This Bible still exists in paper. If you don't have it here, you can have it digitally through what is that? Not YouVerse. What is that called? YouVersion. Our friends at Life.tv, Craig Rochelle. Thank God for him. Anyway, Genesis chapter 6. These are the generations of Noah, and he begins to tell the story, and this is what the Bible does for you. If you just read the story, you'll see, man, you're no different than them. Noah was a righteous man, but hey, he didn't get the blessing without a battle. I love this. It said, Noah walked with God. Noah had three sons. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight. Is it possible that Noah, who walked with God, had to walk with the people that God was about to destroy? Was it possible that while Noah was blessed to walk with God, he had to work with other knuckleheads that caused him stress, and there was a battle to fight? I mean, some neighbor hit his mailbox. Some kid was mouth-mouthing his boys. You know, they got in a fight on the bus, right? Something happened. If all the world was evil, even though Noah walked with God and there was a blessing, there was plenty of battle to face. In the midst of this corruption, God comes and says, basically, look, even though you're walking with me, the planet is evil. You see the tension. Noah was blessed by God, but God was about to destroy the entire earth and everything on it. He was about to destroy all the people. So in the midst of such corruption and judgment, there's also grace. Because there's this relationship with God that Noah had, that in the midst of a very difficult time on the planet, he was blessed by his relationship. And instead of wiping out the entire race, God always will raise up a remnant. That's the church. And in the midst of the most difficult and dark time, there was light. There is grace. And there's always grace that you can find no matter what you're going through if you'll have the right perspective. And so we see this whole thing, and basically he said, I'm going to destroy the earth. You got to build an ark. I don't know if you know or not. And not only that, you got to invite all these animals, and I'm going to save your family through it. I mean, think about how difficult that was. Man, I'm saved. I'm actually got called to be the saved one. But I got to spend about 100 years building a boat, and I've never built a boat. How many know building a boat is real work? The thing that God calls you to do is not always the easy thing that God wants you, that you want to do. But it might be that very thing that becomes a mechanism of God saving you and your sons and daughters. So at the same time, while salvation was available, this ark, this person that wasn't an ark builder had to build an ark. And he wasn't a zoologist, and he had to call the animals. And he had to deal with them. How many know? I mean, I've got five kids at home. They keep asking me for a dog. I'm like, no, you can't clean your room. You're not getting a dog. I wouldn't even have a dog at my house, let alone a male and female of every animal that he had to deal with. How many of you know life is battle and blessing? I mean, you don't think of it that way, but managing all those animals couldn't have been easy. Right? Right? Noah, this is probably one of the most popular lines at the end of chapter 6, says, Noah did this. I underlined that in my Bible. He did all that God commanded him. And then God goes on to say to Noah, get into the ark, you and all your household. And again, at verse 5, he says, Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Again here, Noah was 600 years old. Never too late. Right? And then in the midst of the salvation came rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Can I tell you that in the midst of your salvation, it's going to rain in your life? They've never seen it before. It had never flooded before. It was a storm that was going to destroy everything in the earth. And Noah had to endure it. And thank God he was in the ark. But don't you think you got a little seasick in the process? Just because you're in an ark didn't mean you're floating around on clouds and you didn't experience the most massive storm of all of history that over 200 plus cultures talk about, the Great Flood. Yet he had to, listen to this, he couldn't get to the land and get to the blessing without going through the flood. So it might be that God is trying to take you somewhere, and right now all you know is rain day and night. But God can't get you where he wants to take you if you don't go through the flood. The flood is actually part of your salvation. Do you see what I'm talking about? And so on and on and on, it goes. And it talks about the flood, and it talks about, you know, that whole story. Don't have time to go into it all. And then finally it says, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons. Bring out with you every living thing. This is verse 16 of chapter 8, sorry. Birds and animals, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Sounds like we've heard that somewhere before. So Noah went out. He went out with the animals. And then I love this in verse 20. It says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings. Verse 21, and when the Lord, see, when you remember the Lord, and even in unexplainable circumstances, whether it be blessing or battle, you worship God. See, he built an altar so that he would remember. Now, he had just been through the worst storm ever recorded. He came out of it safe, but he worshiped the Lord. And when you worship the Lord, whether it be out of blessing or out of battle, the Bible says the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. Don't think that your worship goes unnoticed by heaven. Don't think that whether you're worshiping in the worst circumstances you've ever gone through, or whether maybe you're blessed and highly favored and you're happy and the bank accounts are full and you're generous and all is well, that it doesn't go up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling aroma. And it says in verse 9, and God in chapter 9, and God blessed Noah. This is the blessed life. But did he just get it? Did he just kind of get a fast forward through life? Say, you know what? Blessing you means that you don't have to go through anything? No, the brother spent 100 years building an ark. He had to assemble all the animals. He had to get them all, cramp them all in there. I guarantee it didn't smell great in there. He had to endure 40 days and 40 nights of rain. He had to endure not knowing. He had to endure fear and doubt. He had to endure the questions from the kids, are we there yet? He had to encounter, you know, the question from his wife, Noah, what the heck is going on? I don't know. I've never been here. Well, I don't understand what's going on, right? He had to endure all that. Yet the Bible says, God bless Noah. Does that sound like blessing? Not if you zoom in, but if you zoom out, it does. And what I'm telling you is you have to use the same zoom lens in your life. Because what the enemy wants to do is he wants you to zoom in to circumstances that you're going through instead of zooming out and saying, man, I am blessed. That the favor of the Lord, the hand of God is on me. And so it goes on to say, I mean, it's like the Adam and Eve story all over again. It says, I give you everything. I'm going to give you everything. And then it says, but you shall not eat flesh with life. I love this. For all you carnivores and meat eaters, the one thing that Noah got that Adam didn't, he said it's okay to eat animals. It's okay to eat meat. Yeah, thank you for that. Praise the Lord. Don't have to be a vegetarian. Right? And then it goes, be fruitful and multiply. Now listen to this. I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you. See, it's very important that you understand when you go through stuff, it's not just about you. The lie of the enemy is that, man, this whatever this is, let's just be myopic and it's all about me. But you know, the very acts of obedience and the things that Noah did didn't only deliver him, it delivered all his sons. It was much more than just about him.
And then he says, this is a sign of the covenant for all future generations. I have set a rainbow in the cloud. Now, the rainbow is a sign of the covenant that God made with him, right? Now, whoever saw a rainbow on a sunny day? Could it be the reason that you see a rainbow in the midst of the storm, something like this? Do we have that other video, that other picture, Lindsay? Most of the time we see rainbows, it's because something like that. Because God wants to know, in the middle of your battle is your biggest blessing. Because I am with you, says the Lord. I've never left you or nor forsaken you. And no matter what you're going through, it may look like a difficult challenge. This is my covenant. Remember my covenant with you. And so how do you navigate this life? This blessed life that don't always feel blessed? Well, tonight, appreciate that the truth has been told. That just because you call yourself a Christian means that you're going to hit the Powerball lottery this weekend. That somehow coming to this altar and saying some words works like magic or some potion. God will not be mocked. And sometimes the moment you take a stand for Jesus is the moment you start fighting. When some of the biggest battles come. The Bible actually, Jesus actually taught the parable of the sower and said that the sower goes out to sow. And when the word of God was sown, immediately the raven came to steal the seed. It wasn't until the word was sown that you even saw the raven in the story. Till the thief showed up to start messing around because he realized, man, if that seed gets in the heart, it's going to produce a harvest that I can't stop. And so the battle has ensued. So how do you navigate this blessed life? I just want to give you three little points, and we'll close. Number one, in Genesis 6, verse 9, it says, Noah walked with God. What you're going to need in life is a GPS, God positioning system. You're going to need to be able to navigate the blessing and the battle. And you can't do that without being near God. So what I encourage you is that you would get wisdom. And wisdom comes from walking with God. See, it was when Noah walked with God that he heard God say. You're not going to hear God speak until you walk with him. And you know what? And until you're at a certain level of maturity, you probably won't even recognize it's God speaking. That's why he gives you this word. If you want a prophecy, if you want to hear God, start reading your Bible. Because God will speak to you every time you open it. Underneath every scripture is an ocean of revelation that he's just dying to give you. And it could be that, you know what, I don't know about this relationship with God. I've never walked with God before. I don't know about you. But the first time I bought my kids a bike, they had never ridden it. Guess what? I had to hold on to the seat. I had to walk with them. I had to teach them to ride it. That's why we're a church that believes in discipleship. If you're here today and you're alone, you don't have to ever be alone again after the day. You can just say, come down, come right down here after church. Say, I need somebody to hold my seat. Teach me to ride this bike. Teach me to hear God. Teach me to get wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And how would you know that Noah would have been positioned to be the one to build the ark and be used by God if he wasn't walking with God? So whether it's battle or blessing, here's what you do. You draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The Bible says what we were singing tonight in Proverbs 18, verse 10. He says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are safe. You know where the safest place to be, whether it's a battle or a blessing? Close to Jesus. Man, this world is crazy. Where can I go that's safe? Jesus. The only safe place for you is Jesus. His name is a strong tower. And if you're with Jesus, you're safe. You know why? Because Jesus is greater than any temporal thing we see in this earth. And when I'm walking with Jesus and Jesus is my Lord and Savior, man, eternity is promised to me. And that's the safest place I know. That's better than any stocks and bonds, and that's better than any hideout that I could think of. So number one, get wisdom. Number two, we got to do what Noah did. In Genesis 6:22, it says, Noah did all that God commanded him. You actually have to trust and obey God. You get wisdom, and you trust and obey God. You trust him in the blessing. You trust him in the battle. In essence, Noah had a private relationship, said he walked with God. It's one thing to walk with God. It's another thing to build an ark. When he started building that ark before there was any rain, he went public with his faith. He said, you know what? I'm following God. Noah, you're crazy. You drunk? What's going on? You building that big boat. What you building that for? Just like all your friends might come around and say, what's this Jesus stuff? You don't need Jesus. I gave my life to the Lord. I'm going to go give a I am second testimony. It's going to go around the world. You can easily be mocked by the voice of the enemy or voice of real people. You know, it's interesting that the Bible talks about, goes back to this picture of going through the water and being redeemed like Noah and the ark. You know what parallel that is? Water baptism. So you may be here and you may say, you know what? I walk with God, but I've never been water baptized. It's time for you to go public with your faith, to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection. It's not the water that saves you, but it's going public with your faith saying, you know what? I am walking with God now. It doesn't mean I have it all together. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means I'm going after God and I'm going to obey him. Trust and obey. And the Bible talks almost several times, 1 Peter 3, different places where we look back to the story of Noah and the, like Peter and other apostles, writers of the New Testament, talk about that being like water baptism. And so as you see this, we trust and obey God. We trust and obey God. And what I would tell you is this, what I was alluding to, Luke chapter 6 says this, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck, could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The reason we preach in here the importance of taking next steps and making sure that you go through foundation and get with somebody and do the Biblical Foundations Purple Book is because what's going to sustain you, whether it's blessing or whether it's battle, is having a foundation. And that foundation doesn't come here, come from sitting in that pew and hearing the word of God preached, or going to BSD, or going to some class and hearing the word preached. It didn't say hearing the word would lay a foundation. It said practicing the word lays a foundation. You may have heard practice makes perfect. It doesn't make perfect. It makes a foundation. And through that foundation, by hearing and obeying, by trusting and obeying, I'm going to lay a foundation that no matter which side of the track I'm on, no matter what it is I'm going through, I'm going to be able to stand because I have a foundation in Christ and He alone. That doesn't come accidentally. That doesn't come from sitting in a pew on Sunday morning. Do you understand that? Hearing the Word of God is only half of it. You have to put it into practice. You have to implement it in your life. And as you implement it and apply it to your life, now you're building a foundation that you can stand no matter what you come. And I've already prophesied to you, there's a battle coming. Finally, the third is this, and we'll just close with this. You have to maintain, whether it's battle or blessing, you have to maintain the right perspective. No matter what it says in this moment, the start of the story, Noah walked with God. And when he got out of that ark, he built an altar and worshiped him. The question is, when you go through something, does it alter your worship? Does it change how you pray? Does it change just because you're going through a little something? I know it's difficult sometimes because a lot of times in church, and especially in the West, it's all about experiential, feel-good, comfort zone Christianity. What I call Christianity light. It tastes great, but it's less filling. That somehow I'm just blessed when everything is all right. And when everything's all right and I feel good, I can dance around, I can shake and quake, I can go on a run and fit, I can do all those things. But if, man, you let something small happen to me, and I'm going to poke my lip out and be so sad that I can't even drag into church, I'm just going to stay home and watch football today. See, your relationship with God and having the right perspective ought to sustain you no matter what you're going through. Now listen, I know this is hard preaching, and it lives a lot harder than it preaches. It preaches good, lives real hard. But what we have to understand is it's battle and blessing, battle and blessing, blessing and battle. And I don't want to change. I don't want to be a different person when I'm when I'm encountering a battle than I am when I'm walking in, quote, blessing. I want to be the same. And it could be, here's the thing. It could be when, let's do this. Let's end with this scripture, Romans chapter 8. Are y'all doing all right? Y'all got quiet. Y'all were happy. Now y'all sad? Romans chapter 8. Talking about the right perspective. Verse 28. And we know that those who love God, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now, when we hear that, something happens to our hearing. We're saying when bills are paid, kids are obeying, there's food in the refrigerator, my boss is nice to me, there's not a wreck on I-65. I mean, all those first world problems, cable working good, internet's full signal. Those things work together for good. But could it be that the battle you're going through, God says in His Word, and we know that those who love God, the battle you're going through works together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. See, could it be that it's not just the blessing that we're looking for, the Powerball winner, that what this life is really about, but this life is really about a greater purpose, and that's being conformed into the image of His Son. See, here's the truth of the matter. As great as Noah was, if you continue to read the story, it's almost laughable because as soon as the rainbow thing happened, Noah lost it. He said, you know what happened? His Bible says he became a farmer. And you know what? He began to grow grapes. And you know what you make with grapes? Wine. And then the next thing you find out, Noah's out drunk. And then the next thing it says is Noah died. Somehow, the latter wasn't greater than the former for Noah. But the good news tonight is there is one greater than Noah. There's a Jesus is the better Noah. And the very redemption that He gives us and points to, actually, if we look through the lens of the New Testament, lets us know that there was a covenant with that rainbow, but there's a greater covenant that comes through a vertical piece of wood and a horizontal piece of wood called the cross. And through the blood of the new covenant, we're actually delivered, that not just delivered from present day storms, but we are delivered into eternity, that we can actually say that these light and momentary afflictions, right? The glory of the Lord outweigh these light and momentary afflictions, that there is an eternal glory that outweighs them all. And if we get to spend eternity with Jesus, that we don't have to just trust in Noah and an ark, but there is a better Noah, and His name is Jesus. And He endured. Amen? And He encountered the storm so that He sweat blood, tears of blood. They strung him high and wide and nailed his hands and beat him until he was unrecognizable. Yet he endured a storm. And the Bible says that he lived the life we should have lived, yet died the death we should have died in our place. There was a battle raging. But just like when Noah came through the storm, he came with the next generation after him, Jesus, and went into death and hell. It was a dark moment. The Bible says that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? How many of you know your salvation, your redemption that you paid for was even greater on the cross? And he brought you through the other side, because 3 days later, he rose again, proving that he's the Son of God. The better Noah, and establishing us as a covenant that will bring us through whatever battle we face on this time. Because the Bible says, don't look at the things that are seen, but look into the things that are unseen. And Jesus brought us through. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? Can you say, Jesus brought me through? He's the better Noah. Amen. And even as we can look out, go ahead, give God a praise. That'll help me stop. The good news is that we can look out and we can see a rainbow in the midst of our storm, and we can remember, man, God made a covenant. And whatever Noah got, I get, praise God. Because he said that through that, all the generations would be blessed. But the good news is there's a New Testament and a new covenant. And the Bible calls it even better. Because through the blood of Jesus, a new covenant has been established with us. And you know, I just want you to ponder this. It's kind of like the group project in school. Any of y'all ever do any group projects? I was a teacher. Whether I was a student or a teacher, I always found out something about the group project. There was about two or three of them goofing off and one who did the work. And the crazy thing about the group project is all three or four of the group got the same grade because one did it. The good news for us is, we have some blunders. We have a, what'd you call it, Anthony? We have a blooper reel. It's not based on human effort tonight. It's a group project, but we don't do anything. We've got one who's done it for us, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Can we give God a praise? Let's just pray. Father, thank you. If tonight you receive, just if you receive fresh the covenant that God has made with you. Tonight, if you're saying, you know what, I'm going to grab a hold of wisdom. I'm going to get wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to trust and obey, and I'm going to maintain perspective that no matter what I'm going through, I understand this Christian life on this side of heaven is two tracks, blessing and battle, blessing and battle. If that's you tonight, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for hands raised all over this place. Thank you for fresh perspective. God, thank you tonight for Dave and Mary Lynn Robbins. Thank you for their testimony, God. Thank you that you're a covenant-keeping God, and thank you that it's a group project, that it's not up to us, that Jesus, you did it for us. And tonight, we anchor our hope, our trust, and our confidence, not in the works of the flesh, but in what you did for us, Jesus. We thank you that you're the better Noah tonight. And we thank you no matter what we face, battle or blessing, we're going to anchor onto you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we love you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Give him one more praise. So here's an action step. We talk about next steps. There's plenty. First of all, if you need to get right with God, you need to do that. Salvation, that's the starting place. Number two, if you need to go public with your faith through water baptism, we want to walk you through that, teach you about it. Maybe you say, hey, I got baptized when I was six because grandma said get wet. What we realize is when you, the baptism happens after repentance. And when you understand what went on in your life, maybe that's you need to get baptized. Maybe number three, you need to say, you know what, I got to have me one of those foundations. Because I've been trying this battle. I've been trying to do it all by myself. And I need a foundation. and you want to get signed up to be part of a class or group, called a foundation group, please come down here, okay? God bless you. You're dismissed. If you need anything, we're here to pray for you. Have a good night.